Welcome to You, Me, and the Dogs, the podcast where we explore the wonderful world of pet ownership. Join me every Wednesday as my guests and I share personal stories, insights, and experiences, of course, with dogs. Today, we're taking a walk and making a flan with Jessica Welsh from Bring a Flan.
Say hi to Yanko.
Oh, I know. That is Ty.
Hi, puppy.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? Come here. Come say hi to Lily. It's okay. Say hi.
Hi, baby.
Say hi.
Yankee.
Hi.
So when you got them, that was the first time they met or they met?
Well, listen, I don't know what their history was at the center.
Yeah.
Or however you call it, at the jail.
Don't get riled up, Eddie.
But they're like best friends. I don't want them to gang up on him.
No, don't worry.
Ty-Ty, did you see you have a friend here?
They're calming down. I still see haunches.
Right.
I guess that's normal.
Well, they're kind of like, hey, you're in my house.
Yeah. So what do you think? Aren't they funny?
Yeah.
Ty's big, right? I told you, he's big.
So when you got him, was size?
He was a little smaller than Eddie.
Eddie's how old?
Eddie is, they say, 4.
Okay. So he's the baby.
He's a baby. This is so good for them, actually.
Yeah.
No, because Eddie is under kind of house arrest right now. And he's so anxious because he was out on the street so long. He gets freaked out about being outside, you know?
But he doesn't look like he's anxious. You know that?
Ed?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have him on any tranks right now.
Right.
They've given me tons for him.
I mean, good. He has some shyness. Like that little bow he just did. He is kind of confident or like relaxed.
Yeah, I
here.
Think something's happened, you know. Like he seems cool.
Yeah.
Totally cool. He's a cool dude. Like I would love to be able to socialize with him. Like take him to...
Right.
Somewhere to sit outside with him. But he gets very anxious. Like, there's scratches on the side of my car. So he's trying to get in the car.
Aw.
But maybe he's turning a corner.
Right.
I don't know how long something like that takes to change. So he loves his car rides for now. That's his, because we want to keep him calm. But this is good for him. I just don't want him to get too...
Yeah, like too rowdy.
Yeah.
What do you think, Eddie? Mama, this is so nice.
And that's the heartworm stuff, or
that's where they put the shots and all that good stuff.
Poor thing. Yeah. So Miami-Dade didn't really.
They didn't detect them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I may go down and see if there's any recourse, but it's fine.
No, it's kind of crazy how people, like in Ty's case. They get a dog thinking that it's going to be, like, this cute little thing, and then it grows.
Yep. Yep. And you know what? Here's the thing, too. Sometimes, and I've heard people say this, that they've gotten dogs thinking, be nice.
No, they're just playing.
But they think that people are said, oh, no, he's going to stay small.
Uh-huh.
And they have really no idea.
Right.
Right?
No, yeah. Yeah, unless you look at the parents and all that.
And they may not have that ability at the shelter.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Who knows where they got him. You know, we, on his paperwork, they said he's a Catalonia?
Catahoula.
Catahoula. You want to roll back?
Yeah.
Okay.
But they're so cute.
Well, I'm glad you got to meet them.
Yeah.
Look at his grin. He's got these big, strong jawbones.
Yes. Did you DNA them?
No.
No? Okay. Because he looks like...
What is it? It's a Belgium something.
A Malinois?
Malinois.
Mixed with a pit bull or something.
Does he?
Yeah. The ears.
But he's got a cool... Look at his Eddie Munster hair.
Yeah. He's getting comfortable. He looks like he's comfortable.
How can you tell?
Well, because he was playing and he was following Yanko, like kind of saying like, hey, this is mine.
Yeah.
Come on.
Is Yanko ever like in fear? Do you ever see that?
Yeah, I've seen it a couple times. But he'll tuck his tail.
Okay.
Yeah. He'll tuck or like, he'll do a couple of like,
look at his muscular legs.
Like coming to me and like kind of jumping on me or like.
Like help.
Let's go. Yeah.
Like Vamanos children.
Yeah. No, but they're so cute.
Do you like them?
Yeah.
They're Thai.
I mean, with Thai, like, I feel kind of like that was so, I don't know how to say it because it's kind of evil. Like, how do you get a dog and not, I don't know.
You know what, though, Nellie, here's the thing. Socially,
yeah.
I mean, if somebody has a home,
right,
it's hard for them to, like, lose their home. You know, and I get it. I feel the same way you do. Like, I believe that you're committed to your
right.
animal like a child.
Yeah.
I just feel like I don't know what their circumstances were.
But do you ever think about, like, that?
It would never be something I would do.
Right.
But I'm not judging anyone. I can't even imagine the predicament they were in. And maybe it was not a good one. Maybe it was a really good one. And they just got tired of cleaning up out of their dog. I don't know.
Right.
There's all sorts of, how do I say it?
Yeah, there's
circumstances,
yeah,
that people go under. And nowadays, people are having problems making ends meet.
Right.
So are you going to get your family out on the street because of a dog that maybe you couldn't afford, you know, to have? You know, you don't want to get.
I mean, I just think for me, it's a little difficult saying, hey, I got this dog and I thought it was going to be a little tiny thing and now it's not, versus I'm sick, I have, all of a sudden I learned I have cancer.
To get rid of my dog, right. No, I get it.
Yeah.
So I don't know their circumstances.
Right.
I do feel really bad for them in a weird way because he's a very loving dog.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure they miss him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're looking at me funny.
No, I know.
Only they do.
Right.
Our other two dogs that we had that we lost, you know, 3 years prior to adopting these, they were both street rescues.
Okay.
We found them wandering on the street. Mm-hmm. And you wondered, one was a beautiful looking, almost pure, I assume it was purebred Jack Russell. And Jack Russells are known for being hyper.
Yeah.
Crazy. He was not. He was the best
wow.
ever.
Uh-huh.
And the other one was a doofy beagle that we loved. And they did let him out on the street. He was not cared for. His dew claw was three rings deep. So one was completely cared for. Mm-hmm. He looked like he just left getting his teeth clean. He looked perfect.
Right.
And we tried to find both owners.
Okay.
And no one popped up. So why were those dogs left out on the street?
Right.
Why was Eddie left out on the street? Was he lost? Did he get out? So I don't know.
Right.
No, and then circumstances are a mystery.
Yeah.
Why people do what they do.
Right. No, and then it goes to like a lot of the times, you know, they have the chip, right? And you go to the vet, you get them chipped, and then you call the owner, and the owner's like, oh, you found them? Oh.
That's right. It takes all types, I believe.
Yeah. So how did you formulate this for dogs?
Well, so we looked at the things that dogs shouldn't have.
Uh-huh.
And what's the coolest thing about a flan is the caramel. Yeah, they can't have sugar.
Right.
So that was out. But as you know, you can make, well, we'll see today, you can make flan without the sugar.
Okay.
And we have a sugar-free flan at Gringa Flan. It's made with, an artificial sugar substitute. Now, I don't believe dogs should have that.
Right.
In my opinion.
But you're using, like,
sweet things for them.
Right. Pumpkin, and you're using Synonym, which is, like, pretty good for them.
Right.
The pumpkin's good for them.
Yep.
Yeah.
And peanut butter is yummy for them.
Right.
And the vanilla smells good, and also it's, it stirs up senses of good things. So
yeah, I mean, we're not saying to feed this every day.
and honestly, this is a batch of flan that makes 32 ounces. So it's a lot of flan,
right?
So you can certainly half it or quarter it if you want.
Right.
But this is the flan we made for the festival that went. I think we made 2 or 3 batches and that everyone ate it up. God would it up, you know?
Yeah.
In dog terms.
Yeah.
And I think we could eat it too.
Yeah. I'm going to try it.
Yeah.
I'm going to try.
So the recipe, the main ingredients in any flan are eggs.
Right.
Uh-huh. So we're going to start with the eggs. And I'm doing it in my sister in a standing mixer. You don't need a standing mixer to do this. You can do it with this. But
right.
Just to save a little time.
Arm power.
So it starts with 7 eggs. So if you're halving this.
Should we half it?
No. It's up to you. You can take the batter home. I think the batter can be frozen too.
Oh, okay.
And made later.
Okay.
So 7.
7.
Mm-hmm.
And while you do that, what's the other thing in flan? Milk.
Right.
So in flan, you can change up your milks, right?
Right.
The flan that made us the best flan in Miami is our coconut flan. So we make that with a very subtle coconut milk.
Okay.
And I believe coconut milk would probably be something that is okay for dogs.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
So, but right now we're just using regular evaporate. You can use milk, you know, vitamin D or almond milk or whatever, soy milk.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that's going to make your flan firm up are your eggs, right? That's the binding ingredient.
We met in this class.
Right.
What made you want to change from making flan to teaching it?
Well, I'm still on the bridge on that.
Yeah.
The reason why I would think people love flan. Here's the thing about flan in Miami. Flan is everywhere.
Right.
Yeah. Good flan, however,
is hard to
find.
Yeah.
Your abuela makes it, your tia makes it, but they don't want to be making it all the time. So wouldn't it be nice to not have to go to a bakery that
right.
may be mass producing it?
This
and
is...
maybe using fillers that you don't want.
Right.
To somebody making like a homemade type of flan.
When you make it at home, you control the ingredients.
You control the ingredients, right.
Yeah, you control, there's a lot of control.
And I tell people all the time, and I told you this when I first met you, I think, was it's, Ring of Flan's not about flan. It's about what flan represents.
Yeah.
Love, togetherness, memories,
mm-hmm.
joy.
Yeah.
Right? Connection.
Sweet stuff,
right?
Right.
But, you know, the first time I ever, like, really introduced this to the public,
uh-huh.
it was, like, quiet whispers. That's the best compliment anyone could give someone.
Yeah.
So like, it was really about making memories.
Yeah.
So, all right. So we have the milk. We can put some vanilla in.
Okay.
And there's the measuring spoons. 2 teaspoons of vanilla.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, that's the thing. How do you get the flan, love, joy, togetherness outside of Miami?
Yeah.
It's hard to ship flan. Although I've tried and people would love me to do that, it's just super expensive. Flan's perishable. It's delicate.
Right.
So to send it overnight is not cheap.
Nope.
So we need 1.5 teaspoons. I would just kill the whole thing.
Dump it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have the vanilla's done. The mm-hmm. cinnamon's done. Here's some salt. And, you know, I was questioning the salt, but the salt brings out other flavors. It's an agent to
right.
bring other flavors out for the puppies. Let's do the pumpkin. You need a cup.
Okay.
A half a pumpkin. Or a cup, I think.
Cup of pumpkin.
Pumpkin, I believe, has some binding agents also.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But for them, it's really good for, like, the digestive.
Right.
It's a prebiotic. And then it, like, somehow it helps the body know, like, hey, if their poop needs to firm up, it knows it.
Okay.
Versus.
Yeah.
So to get
you. I got it. It's there. Now we can.
Yeah. You know, if you made food stuff, you know that you use your
hands, right?
And then the peanut butter.
A peanut butter is 6 tablespoons.
And so this was a hit when you did it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. And, you know, it's funny because some people. My husband's fine with eating flan warm. I'm like,
warm?
Yeah. But really, flan should be chilled. So we're going to make this batter, and we're going to put it in the oven. But I've already made some, so we can do like the whole.
Yeah, like, do you flip this one?
Yeah, we'll flip it for him.
Oh. Yeah.
I'm looking at you too.
It looks really delicious without
it making. It smells really good, right?
Yeah.
And when it's baked, it firms up very nicely. What number are we on?
This is the last one. Six, right?
Six, yeah. And we can add the milks. Okay. And now we can give it a whirl.
Okay. Do you happen to know what evaporated milk is?
Do I know? I think it's milk with some stuff to keep it. Do you?
No, I don't.
Is that a trick question?
I was going to Google it. And I
think you can use any milk.
Uh-huh.
But the reason why I used evaporated milk, it was something I had on hand, you know, and mm-hmm. it's something that goes into a lot of flour.
Yeah.
You can use vitamin D milk.
It's not fatty.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, so it's just milk.
Right. It has some stuff to keep it.
Yeah. Wow, would it be cool for, like, goat milk or...
Yeah. You could go crazy on it.
Yep. Okay.
So you just go slow at it until it kind of incorporates, like keep it going, because the eggs have to pop, right?
Okay.
And peanut butter has to kind of blend. Yeah. So I've let it blend for a couple minutes.
Okay. It smells so good.
And it's a beautiful color.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No, and it's crazy how like you made something like a flan be
doggy.
Yeah. Doggy friendly.
Doggy friendly.
Because that was like... The parents must have been like, the doggy parents must have been like, oh my God, now they could share.
Yeah.
Along with.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So here's the thing about baking flan once this is over. So flan bakes until it's firm.
Right.
You notice a lot of recipes will give you an approximation of time.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But when you'll, and we'll see it when it bakes at the end.
Uh-huh.
But it has a jiggle, kind of like.
Right.
A firm jello jiggle.
Mm-hmm.
If it has a wave, it's probably not quite done.
Okay.
And I brought some baking vessels, and we'll talk about that in a second.
Okay.
But this makes a lot. It looks, yeah, it's quite a bit of fun.
Right.
But if you have a big dog.
Yeah.
I mean, I made it in small little vessels to show you, but you may want to go bigger. Anything that's oven safe, then fine.
Oh, okay.
And you may want to make a big one and just cut it as you need.
Yeah. Or like birthday, like a dog.
A birthday, yeah. And then cut it for the dog.
Yeah.
Birthday flan.
Yeah, birthday.
Oh, we love him.
Oh, it looks great. Does it matter how much you mix it?
You just want to make sure everything is really kind of incorporated.
Yeah.
You know, when I make my flan, my people flan, I take the eggs and I beat them really, really well.
Uh-huh.
And then I start adding stuff.
Okay.
Because I want to make sure they look good. But this looks completely incorporated.
Right.
Right?
Turned.
Well.
Hey, it does smell good.
It smells great. It smells fresh, right?
Yeah. Does your flan have these ingredients?
My pumpkin flan has pumpkin. My cinnamon flan has cinnamon. Every flan should have a little salt.
Mm-hmm.
Should have.
Yeah, like vanilla. No balance.
Yeah. And I like to use really good vanilla, like Mexican vanilla is what I use.
Oh, okay.
And of course, eggs and milks.
Oh.
And then with the 30 flavors, you get into a variety of things like fresh mango,
mm-hmm.
Or any fresh ingredients.
Yeah.
But flan itself is very perishable. So when you add fruit like that, you have to be very aware that, you know.
It's the chemistry.
That's right.
Yeah.
These little vessels, this is what I make.
Okay.
My tasting flans. With, but they're perfect because they have little lids so you can keep them in the refrigerator. This flan probably has a shelf life of 2 weeks. If you were to bake it without a water bath, so flans just like cheesecake, just like creme brulee or souffles, bake in a water bath. Putting water underneath here makes it bake and cook more evenly.
Right.
And if you didn't, it would start
lifting.
Yeah. It starts like rising. So I'll let you do some pouring.
Okay.
Just pour it, you know, all the way up or not over the top, but
right. Okay. And So then, that's it, right?
Can the camera see that?
Maybe here.
Oh, cool.
It looks really nice. I wish you guys could smell it, because it smells,
smells good. It smells really, really
good. Wow. Wow.
Okay. So then I'm just going to fill this with water up to about halfway to the pans.
Uh-huh.
And they bake at a 350 degree oven. So while that's preheating, let me show you the flans that I made.
Yeah. Okay. So these are going to have jello, like the same consistency.
No. When it's baking, when it's dark, it has a consistency of jello. When it's done chilling,
all right, okay.
Firm. So to flip a flan,
mm-hmm.
you score the edges. Oh, near. Well, there we go. Oh my gosh.
What is that? You messed it up, lady.
What do you think? Is it?
Oh, nice? Yeah, he's like,
does he dig it? Is that yummy? Oh my gosh, that was so good. What?
Beauty.
Poor two. Here, here, good to the last shot.
You're naked.
So now we can try it. I don't think it's going to be sweet, but it'll be good.
Sometimes you'll be surprised.
And I forgot cinnamon in my batch, sorry. So, you know, yours, you have cinnamon to look forward to.
Mmm, it's good. Oh, but you could chew.
Hmm?
That's,
yeah.
The color.
Right. It's good. It's peanut buttery.
Yeah.
And you could probably, like, change the level of peanut butter and pumpkin.
Yeah. Or put, like, more cinnamon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think, sir? Anyhow.
Ty and Eddie are going to love it, too.
Mm-hmm. For a human, you can tell you're missing a little sweet.
Right. Yeah, but it's...
But imagine you could put applesauce in it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So we got opportunities.
Right.
What do you think? It was good.
So, like, when you were making the flan, the original one for your husband, I'm sure that you tried so many different
variations.
Yeah, variations. And then, like, now, as 10 years have gone by, or
yeah,
how many years that was, that sometimes when you make a batch, it must remind you of that first time.
It does, of course. He's my taster, my taste tester. When you talk about many batches, like our mango flan was one that we just couldn't quite figure out. And we learned the hard way, and I tell people all the time, because people, when we do the mango festival, they come up and like, how do you get it to taste like this? And I said, tell me, you probably blended the mango. They said, yeah. I said, I bet you your flan tasted like corn. And they're like, it did.
Corn? Really?
Yes. When you take a mango and you blend it, something happens with the milks and the eggs. It's not a bad flavor,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't taste like mango. It has a very interesting corn flavor. And I've had that experience at Mexican restaurants. And I'm like, yeah, that's what they did. So we keep our... So Danny kept trying and trying. He was like, this is not cutting it. So I thought maybe it's something with the mango. So we would omit like some of the vanilla or some of the salt or a different milk.
Mm-hmm.
And it would still have that flavor. Until we made the mangoes chunky, that's when the flavor really came together. So you'd have a bite of whole mango
with
your flan. So
Yeah, you live and learn.
Yeah. Right?
It's like trial and error. Like, that experience is like owning a dog, kind of. Like, you're trying a bunch of different things to see what sticks.
Right.
You know?
Recently, Ty had a weird rash. Mm-hmm. And the vet's like, it's something new. You're probably feeding him. I'm like, oh, gosh. What could that be?
You know, because, you know, you're always trying different things.
Right. So it's gone away. So I honestly don't know what it was, but knock on wood or something.
But you're right. It's trial and error.
Right.
Yeah.
But this mango font or this dog plan was a fun thing. And I was like, I think when I told you about it, you're like, do you have the recipe?
Yeah.
Actually, somewhere.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
I mean, and I like that idea of when you said applesauce, I was like, yeah, the applesauce would be so cool too.
Like cinnamon and apple.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or instead of pumpkin, sweet potato.
Yeah, my dog, sweet potato all the time.
Yeah. So.
And here's the thing with flan, and I haven't really delved in this just a little bit, is in other countries, like I think in France, they have savory flans. So think about an omelet.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like adding rosemary or whatever. Oh, right?
Yeah.
Or cheeses. Yeah. You know? So yeah. There's a lot you can do and have fun with it, right?
Yeah.
And I know, you know, your dogs appreciate it. Mm-hmm. I know mine are gonna appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a nice treat.
I think that's a special treat.
Mm-hmm. And there's something about my process of like cutting the salmon and then putting it, and I put it for this long, right? I've never said how long ever, but now that I'm not in business, I'm like, whatever, here, you know, do something nice for your dog.
You know what, I have to tell you that I think knowledge, there's, like I told you, flan is literally around every corner in my
head. Right.
I feel like people that make flan need to stay together.
Yeah.
And share what they're doing. Somebody recently reached out to me about not these containers, but the containers that I make my big flans in. And we got those from a grant in the county, which is awesome. And they're CPET materials. That means you can bake in them. They're safe. They're reusable, recyclable, all that good stuff. But that grant afforded me to be able to purchase those, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're not cheap.
Right.
But my customers adore them because during COVID, it was like I didn't have to touch the flan or anything.
Right.
I just contained it and they went. So somebody reached out and said, where'd you get those containers? That's not something I'm hauling, you know.
Right.
You know, you share things.
Yeah.
Maybe your secret recipe is a secret, but you know what? You give everybody the tips and whatever they need to know, right? There could be certain things. Not everybody shares things, but people, we all need to realize we're connected.
Yeah.
You know, and
share
what you have.
Yeah. I would say that's something I learned in our accelerator that we did was kind of like, there is no secret business. You know, like you can't do it as an individual. You need
a team.
A team, right.
That's right.
And finding the team to help on your mission is...
And that's what this is about.
Yeah.
It's all about collaboration.
Correct.
And community and all that.
Right. Yeah.
Joining togetherness.
Yeah.
Right. So anyhow, you know, you talked about pivoting from making flan to teaching flan. You know, I believe that I've been in business for 10 years and it's hasn't been easy. Having a small business
is not
for the weak at heart.
Right.
You need resources. You need to be able to pivot at any time and realize that you can't do it alone.
Right.
You can't be, you know, the accountant, the attorney, the person that's watching compliance on kitchen safety. You can't be all that at once.
Yeah.
You can, but you're not going to really go.
You're going to spread yourself real
light. You're going to burn out and all that good stuff. But knowing that you can have a team and succeed is great, but sometimes you don't always have that, you know?
Yeah.
And you need to be able to look for other things that will give you that growth and be able to help you pivot. So my idea is to start maybe doing classes and teaching people, you know, let's spread the Grinda Flan love like I always wanted to do. And joining togetherness is what the flan brings. So maybe small private little lessons, doing something that maybe would eventually get online so people could try that.
Yeah.
But this was fun. I mean, I know you learned a lot.
No, yeah. It's like you're a chemist.
there is something to be said about baking versus cooking.
Yeah.
My friend says, well, baking is a science.
No, yeah. And like, well, what I was originally going to say was like, today I made some salmon. There's something about making it yourself versus buying it in a store, which I'm sure people have told you kind of like, you know, your flan is different from what I find in a store.
Well, it's just like, you know, going out to a restaurant. If you make bruschetta really, really well, you're not going to buy bruschetta when you're out because you know you do it really well.
Right.
You're going to be disappointed.
No.
Right.
Yeah.
Just like you making your own treats.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not going to be the same.
No.
And there is something to be said that all my flans are made with love.
Yeah.
Because they are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like Yanko's treats, when I make them, I'm like, oh, this is like, I know where this,
enjoy now.
I know where this came from, right? That's like another thing of like where I source the various things.
That's right.
Like it has a story. And like I'm cutting it or his, you know, mouth. And yeah, for it. Whereas, which is kind of bad because now I say, Yanko needs treats. I go to the store and buy treats, but I'm kind of like, so unhealthy or like they add extra things and I'm like, why do they need to add this stuff? I made treats and they didn't you know? So right.
To keep it shelf stable, yeah. Or whatever, who knows?
Right.
Who knows?
But it is a funny thing, like baking.
It's a balance.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think dog ownership brings on a whole different responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not easy. They don't talk to you and you know, when you start right. Droopy, right? It may be something that they ate. I told you those treats thing. I don't know, Danny's like the vet thinks it's something we gave him. I'm like, oh, okay. I don't know.
Right.
You know, I don't have time to make him treats all the time.
And then,
so sometimes you do buy them.
No, yeah. No, I mean, I do too. I'm guilty.
It's not guilty, but
no,
it's what you do.
Right. And then, you know, they, like you said, they could get in, I don't know, some
largest.
Right. Yeah, and you're like, I did the wrong thing. And
no, you did.
Yeah.
It's all from love.
Yeah. So then these guys stay in there?
For about 30 minutes. I'll check on them. They're in 350. Mm-hmm. They won't take that long. And we'll see how they jiggle.
Uh-huh.
And then we know that they have to chill
rice
for a couple hours.
So do you put them straight in the refrigerator?
You can.
You can?
You can put them straight in the refrigerator.
Okay.
It's pretty.
Yeah. So have you had dogs all your life?
No.
No? Okay.
There's a funny picture that I'll send you. We had them when we were really little.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of five daughters my parents had, the youngest. And it's a picture of all five of us. And I was a baby, an infant, on a pillow. And my sister, the one that's next to me in age, Jody, had her face and she was smart. And our dog, a beagle dog, was on her lap. But the reason why she had a pout on is because my mom did not want freckles, the beagle, in the picture. But then they finally gave in because she wouldn't stop crying. But she still had this terrible...
Right.
It's a funny, funny picture. So, yeah, we had dogs. But when freckles died, my mom, all the girls were heartbroken. She's like, I can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much. So I got... You know, dogs as an adult, and I fell in love with them.
Because
mm-hmm. They're just so cool. And it's instant love and unconditional love, right? Man?
Yeah. And they teach us stuff that we don't see ourselves. Right, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Communicating with something that doesn't speak your language.
Yeah, it's a skill. It's definitely a skill. Danny found the beagle at the middle school.
Okay.
And brought him back here, actually, because I was checking on something in the house. My sister wasn't here. And he's like, look what I have in the back seat. I'm like, oh, no. And I just lost one of my dogs. And I'm like, I wasn't ready.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, but I thought you liked beagles from the picture when you were little. I'm like, it's not that I don't like them. But this dog wanted nothing to do with us. He had this look like, you owe me money. And I want you to take me back wherever it came from. So Danny was sick of seeing my face. Like, why did you bring this dog? Because I just wasn't ready.
Mm-hmm.
I just lost my dog, my other Jack Russell.
So he's like, all right, I'm going to take him back and look for his owner. We've been looking for his owner. And this one lady said, I think I know that dog's owner. It's here. And Danny knocked on it. I was like, that's not the dog. So Danny sat there and said, Buddy, what do you want to do? Sat, and Buddy took off. Danny sat down for about 20 minutes, and then Buddy walked back up to him and sat next to him. And his whole demeanor with us changed. He was happy to be with us. It's like he needed, it was really, Danny tells it really well, but Buddy was like our Buddha dog. He taught us patience because he was, all he wanted to do was eat. He would get into the trash. When you walked in, he wasn't into walking. So you kind of like, it was like a big bag of mulch to walk. So we loved him. He was a good dog. You love them all, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You love them all.
Yeah, and I mean, you're all about like memories.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that what about? It's about?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. I mean, I think about my other dogs, but sometimes in memories. But
how many dogs have you owned?
Three other dogs?
Yeah, I've never heard you talk about any of them.
Yeah. Yeah, so I had...
Too hard?
Or because...
No, well, because I think he's my dog, like, as an adult. I think the other ones were more family. But I feel more guilt than anything. You just follow the grain of, like, your parents say this is what they eat, and this is, you know, and you don't know any better. You're just like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to feed it this, right? Like 15, 16? Mm-hmm. Actually, the Jack Russell went with me to New York.
Oh, I didn't realize you.
Yeah.
Did we talk about this? Yeah, Jack Russell before?
I think so. Or like, I might have mentioned, she was crazy. She was like insane.
Yeah.
And
that's the cool thing about Jack Russell.
Yes, it was an insane, it was one of the cute size, like nice compact size, but God, did that.
What was her name?
Dolly.
Oh, no. See, I would have remembered that.
Yeah.
Crazy. Jumper.
Yeah. Yeah, over that fence?
Yeah, no big deal.
Just, oh, okay, well,
see ya.
Okay.
And yeah, my Phoebe, my other Jack, wasn't a fence jumper, but she would play with a ball for hours. Hours. She could throw a ball for hours and pull your arm out. She didn't get tired.
I took that Jack Russell to New York because I thought, in college, I could take her. I lived off.
Campus,
and I've had the Jack Russell, and quickly I realized, oh shit, this is not a good idea.
Did she chew on things?
No, it wasn't her. It was more of my schedule. Like,
I didn't have time for her.
It was studio and architecture and classes and stuff.
Heavy duty,
and so my mom came back and picked her up. And brought her back here. So then she lived until she passed away.
How old was she when she passed away?
12. But they didn't, you know, feed her what he eats, you know? And I think it just goes, it's like a cycle, you know? Like, I'm sure, I don't know, in the 1950s, they started saying fast food and all this stuff, you know,
Well, smoking was good for you at one point.
Right.
It's all relative and
not good for you, but right.
Right. I mean, maybe they'll come back and say, like, hey, you know.
Everyone should start smoking.
I don't know.
No, you don't. That's the thing. You don't.
You don't know what you don't know.
You don't know. Yeah. But what you could keep is the memories.
I think they're done.
Oh my God, they smell so good.
They're pretty. See how they're jiggling?
Yes, and tad.
Oh, yeah. So they're done. I'm going to turn it off and keep the door shut so they can firm up just a little bit more.
Okay.
And then we just chill.
We can just chill them.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you want to know more about our guests, read the show notes down below. And of course, join us next Wednesday for another possum episode of Yumi and the Dogs. Bye.